This is the KPQ Legislative Hotline, the weekly live update from your lawmakers at the state capitol in Olympia on News Radio 560 KPQ, FM 101.7.
And good morning, KPQ News Time, 8:05. Checking in with the third and final hour of the KPQ Morning Updates on this Thursday edition. It's the 22nd of January, 2026. And as promised, the Legislative Hotline this morning, our first with 7th District State Senator Shelley Short and 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick. They both join us live from the Capitol this morning. And ladies, I appreciate the time as always this year. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Good morning.
So we were just talking about your time in the Senate so far. Shelley, you're entering year 9 and Judy, year 11. So 20 years combined. And I jokingly said before we got on air here that you must be getting used to it. And of course, you said, no way. It's always a little bit different over there. So what is the mood this year?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. First, I'll start it off. I call it three-dimensional chess because you just never know what's coming at you at every juncture.
Yeah. And I wrote down the word frantic. It just feels like everybody's frantically trying to get their bills introduced, frantically trying to prove to us why we need to raise taxes. And we are pushing back on that.
Yeah, it's a short session this time around, 60 days, and the budget needs to be balanced again, seemingly, or there's at least a large hole that needs to be filled. We've already talked with a couple of your constituents as well about this, Senator Gaynor from the 12th District talking to us a couple weeks back, and last week, I guess it was, and then we also had a word with Brian Burnett from the House about this. I know that neither of you are directly involved with the budgeting process, to my recollection, but talk to us about having to do that in a year when the budget should have essentially been defined last year, and you would be able to concentrate on other matters this year.
Well, I'm the ranking on the higher ed committee, and we were invited to attend a budget session for the operating budget, we being the chair, Twyna Nobles, and myself. And the higher ed community, the higher ed institutions have been hit very, very hard with the budget, the governor's proposal, and what they're looking at in cuts, because it is an impact of the state budget by the amount of funding that our universities are getting. And community colleges are hit, the universities are hit, some higher than others. UW and WSU are the highest cuts, and then our regional universities. So we were able to go in, see what they're thinking. I don't know if they took any of our suggestions, but, unfortunately, our higher ed and our community colleges, that's the future. We're looking at our future job opportunities for training, and to have that cut as drastically as what it has been is very, very concerning.
Well, on the flip side, I do the same as ranking in Ag and Natural Resources, the committee, the policy committee. I also have opportunities to look at the natural resource portions of the budget. We'll be doing that today. And it gives you both an in-depth look at what the governor's proposing, but then the chance to weigh in and offer input. You know, we have to do it any way we can, hoping that this is a better balanced budget. I think revenues have been coming in at a good clip, but I think our problem here is we're spending way more than we're taking in. And that's been the biggest challenge. You're right. In the supplemental session, you should be, dealing with other things in a 60-day. We call it a supplemental session, like emergencies, like the flooding, that happened not that long ago, and dealing with more emergent things. But the 60-day session has really become almost like a mini 105-day session, which is challenging to say the least. But we're going to be keeping an eye on the budget. We don't think, again, that we need to increase taxes in order to do the things we need to do.
Shelley, Judy, I know it's always important to Republicans to sock away money for a rainy day. And one of the things the governor has also mentioned is tapping into the rainy day fund, quite a bit of it, as a matter of fact, to try and fill in this budget gap that we have right now. I know that's got to be very alarming to a lot of your constituents in the same party. You know, how concerned are you that he may be able to get this done by the end of the sessions to fill that gap, at least partially?
I'm very, very concerned. I've also heard that there's other pots of money that has not been tapped in before. I can't really speak to it now, but it's not something that we want to allow if we can stop it at this time. But Shelley mentioned the floods. We need rainy day funds for that type of situation. We're asking for federal funds for those flood impacted areas, but we have to have matching funds. And without the rainy day fund, we can't take care of catastrophes like what just happened.
Well, and the health of the rainy day fund is also very tied to our credit rating, our state's credit rating. In fact, this isn't a partisan issue. Our state treasurer, Mike Pelliciotti, came out and shared his concerns about, you know, making sure that we have healthy reserves, because that's so intrinsically tied with our state's credit rating, our bond ratings, and all of those things, you know, and he's a Democrat. So I think, again, generally, we've just got to be really cognizant of what we're doing here.
Ninth District State Senator Shelley Short, along with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick, with us today here on the KPQ Morning Update Legislative Hotline for this Thursday edition of the program. Ladies, I want to get to this bill regarding wildfire funding here in just a moment, but I want to take a moment here to talk about bipartisanship, because it seems in doing these interviews over the course of, many years now altogether, but consistently now for the last four, that we tend to hear sort of stories of bipartisanship trickling in. Every so often you'll hear about good work that goes on across the aisle. And I'm sure that happens more frequently than some people would think. But I also wonder if we're still living in a time where there's more acrimony than is either necessary or than is helpful between party lines in Olympia. So how is the climate as far as working together on these issues as Republicans and Democrats going?
Well, I think, obviously the thing that ends up in the press is when we vehemently don't agree. And there's going to be plenty of room for that this session. There are a number of bills that are just stunning, you know, particularly within the agricultural world, you know, allowing agricultural workers to, to basically form a union. And it's not just the workers themselves, it's the entire kind of farm to table part of the process. Things like that, there will be tremendous disagreement. But both Judy and I won't speak for her, but, the wildfire issue with the homeowners insurance, we're working with the Office of Insurance Commissioner, Patty Cooter. So we work really hard on those relationships. It's important.
Mm-hmm. And there is a stability work group or stability committee that is under the auspices of the Lieutenant Governor, who is a Democrat. And he has asked Republicans on both the House and the Senate, primarily the Senate, though, to be on that and have discussions about how we can relate to each other in a civil manner. And one of the members is from our caucus, and he said that conversations have been very, very good. But just learning how to be civil to each other when we are talking about issues that are as critical to our constituents as what Shelley talked about. So there is an attempt, and I give our Lieutenant Governor, who is a Democrat also, a lot of credit for that.
All right, Shelley, you alluded to that wildfire funding bill, so let's talk about it now. I know this is something that you and Judy are working on together, because there's another piece of this involving homeowners insurance premiums that Judy is working on. So kind of lump all this together for us, if you would, and talk to us about what do you have on the table?
Go ahead. Oh, okay. We're looking at each other. You know, the wildfire funding. So several years ago, the former commissioner, she Hillary Frounds, worked really hard to address this issue from forest health partnerships, firefighting assets, you know, coordination, pre-positioning, all of it. And honestly, Tom Dent in the House has been a tremendous, you know, just has done tremendous things in that space too. We all have, very bipartisan. It's called, we refer to it as 1168 funding because that was the bill that everybody worked so hard on. And significant part of it was significant funding that would come from the general fund to fund all of those things. It's working. It's working very well, actually. And it was not fully funded in last year's budget. So it was about half of what it should be. So we probably looking in the neighborhood of 60 to 65 million to bump that back up. You know, our thoughts are you pay now or you pay later. And oftentimes the paying later has multiple horrendous effects to the state budget, to communities, to homeowners, to wildlife, you know, property, the whole nine yards. So we're really going to be pushing it. We know it's bipartisan. It's not a done deal, but we're going to work hard on that.
Yes. And then along with that is a bill that I sponsored and Senator Short was co-sponsor on it, and that's 5928 has to do with homeowners insurance. We had a town hall in Cleyelum last fall. It was a packed town hall that was brought together by the folks from Cleyelum, the realtors, but we had conversations with insurance companies, homeowners, and the insurance commissioner. That was involved a little bit with it. So she brought us a bill that would give more clarity that for homeowners who are losing their insurance. In many cases, they've had it for years, but a lot of the area where your radio program reaches, it's called Fire Zone. And people are losing their homeowners insurance for wildfire purposes. So we want to make it plain what they have, what they will get with a policy, and why they may be losing it. But and plus, we need to protect our insurance companies in the state of Washington also. They could be suffering from unfair competition from out of the area. But we've looked at Colorado, Montana, and other areas that have put this together, similar laws. But a lot of people do mitigation efforts around their homes. Fire mitigation efforts. And then an insurance company may still drop them even after they do everything possible. So trying to get a handle on how people can get insurance for their homes in fire zones and how we can help the insurance companies to be able to serve their customers too. So difficult situation, but I think with the insurance commissioner's help and a lot of discussion, we'll be able to get something for our constituents.
Well, and there's another piece to that bill, and it's what homeowners do, but it's also, you know, like FireWise communities, what our fire districts do to, you know, make sure that they can be more responsive to the, you know, the areas that they serve and protect. And it's also what the state does. And all of those things really should enter into those rate discussions that the insurance companies have with the insurance commissioner. Because if we're doing our part to minimize or to reduce wildfire risk, that's a benefit to the insurance companies. And we think, frankly, you know, homeowners should get credit for that.
Mm-hmm. When you broaden this issue out, ladies, I know that at the national level, the folks that work in Congress back there who are from Western states trying to get those who are from the eastern part of the United States to understand the issues created by wildfires, wildfire smoke, for example, all of that was a difficult process. And then suddenly the wildfires in Ontario some years ago The smoke drifted down and got so thick in Washington, D.C. and New York City that that finally captured their attention. I know we've also seen wildfires crop up on the west side of the state now in recent years over in the Olympic Peninsula, which is a very new phenomenon in so many ways. So because of that and other things like the smoke that's drifted over to the west side at times from B.C. fires and even the ones on the east side of the state, do you think we finally have the attention of your west side counterparts here as far as the severity of the wildfire issue and how it needs to be tackled?
You hit the nail on the head there, because all politics is local. And once Seattle started getting wildfire smoke and there was wildfires on the peninsula, then people started realizing, oh, this is a real issue. This is a real problem. And because we have been in a drought situation for a couple, 3 years now, and that causes more wildfires to pop up. But, they are starting to realize, our colleagues are starting to realize this is a real issue.
Well, the second piece of that, too, is forest management. We've had groups that over the years have challenged the Forest Service on a number of those, you know, things. And we know in the area you serve and we all live that our national forests are a big part, you know, of our land mass. And, you know, now these groups are realizing that forest health is a big deal. It, you know, just doing those silvicultural treatments, the thinning, the prescribed fire, and really that we need to manage our forests. Otherwise, Mother Nature is going to do it, and it's usually through wildfire and disease. And so we think that issue, too, has had a huge effect. But, you know, I have to say I'm a little bit concerned about the new lands commissioner's direction, because he's doing a lot of work to set timber aside. And I know that there's areas that he's potentially concerned about, but we need to desperately continue forest health, these treatments, our partnerships with the Forest Service through good neighbor authority, and really being able to help each other and our communities. So I'm watching some of those issues really carefully.
All right. Well, as you watch issues and deal with them firsthand over in Olympia, we'll be checking in with you throughout the legislative sessions this year. Again, that's 7th District State Senator Shelley Short, along with 13th District State Senator Judy Warnick, joining us this morning here on the KPQ Morning Update, our legislative hotline for this Thursday. Ladies, we'll be talking to you again here on the 5th of February, so a couple weeks out. Until then, thanks for everything you do in Olympia, and we'll look forward to that next chat.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.